Hey everyone, we'll get you to the show in a second. Just want to give you the heads up about our latest Red Men Plus special offer. If you want even more Liverpool content in your lives, both in video and podcast forms, simply head to redmenplus.com. And if you sign up as a yearly captain subscriber and use the promo code RACE, R-A-C-E, you'll get 50% off a yearly subscription. So yeah, that'll get you covered for the rest of this amazing season, the search for a new manager, the summer transfer window, and pretty much all of the new manager's first season as well. So yeah, redmenplus.com, yearly captain subscription, promo code RACE, and get 50% off. I'll see you all over there. Hope you enjoy this podcast that's about to start right now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Red Men TV podcast. We are here. We're not actually doing a video version of this at the moment for reasons.
For deep, what reasons, Paul?
And interesting reasons. There's no way of knowing, to be perfectly honest. We could spend a lot of this time trying to fathom it out. It largely centres around that. I've had that, I couldn't be arsed.
It's funny, it's not even you that has to do anything.
And weird that. Yeah. Should we get stuck into a question?
Yeah,
let's
get into it. Let's not dwell on passport.
Basically, what we've done for this is obviously we're doing so much coverage around transfers and what have you at the moment. And obviously, all that stuff exists predominantly on the website, on the redmentv.com. So if you want that, you know, the Reds transfer roundup, we've done loads of that stuff. You can go and watch all those. What we're going to do for this, particularly for the summer, with no games to talk about, we're going to answer a lot more of you guys' questions. So if you want to involve yourself with the show, tweet at Redmen TV. What?
And girls.
Guys is a collective term.
It's a derogatory term to a girl.
Is it?
Yeah. I've had so many complaints over the restaurants, in restaurants, when I've called a couple guys and they've gone...
Complaints from arseholes?
Loads of them.
Absolutely.
All of them. They're all arseholes.
Well, yeah. I suppose there's no male or female of arseholes, is there? So collectively, go with that. Hi, arseholes. What would you... People are knobheads in restaurants, aren't they, to be fair? I always thought this, and let's meander. There's not too many professions where it's acceptable to make people cry. And I'm not saying it's acceptable to make waiters and waitresses cry, but I've seen so many... waiters and waitresses brought to tears by absolute assholes. And in any other industry, you just wouldn't. You just go, get the fuck out, wouldn't you? You know, if someone walked into any other business and was a complete twat, you'd just tell them to get out. Whereas you're so beholden to the customer in the public service industry that it's absolutely fucking ridiculous.
Arseholes, Paul.
Yeah, absolutely. Whereas we get to just call arseholes in the YouTube biz.
No one knows where we are.
Yeah. Guzman Dembele asked on Twitter, to kick us off, if you could relive any moment in your life that wasn't football related, what would it be? I love the questions where we just get to wind you up and let you go.
See, my first thought was...
I don't want to know what you've gone.
My fair, well, there was two. There
was
a sexual one. There was a sexual one, obviously. But then, yeah, 30 seconds, you know what I mean? I can pretty much remember exactly what happened in those 30 seconds. Yeah. If it was a 20-minute session, then maybe, yeah, have a little look at that again. Oh, look, good technique.
Yeah.
It was on some stairs, Paul, in a house party, okay, on the way up to a bedroom, and I was done.
Sound.
So I don't need to relive that. I remember everything. I remember what step I was on, when my pants came down.
You do a second by second, stuff, so. Stroke by stroke account.
So there's no need for me to do that.
Sure.
The second one was the birth of my children, which were horrendous. Right, so I don't want to go through that either.
There's obviously something about the greatest moments of your life. My like the birth of my children was not those moments, like them arriving, like, so like the hour after it happened,
they were great. Amazing. Good times.
Yeah, exactly. The actual birth itself, I could not. I have to relive that every single time I close my eyes.
Yeah. Do you know the scene in Kill Bill where they all die and they all fall into the bath, the blood bath scene? Yeah. That.
So no, that's not
twice
the answer
over.
Either.
So that's not the answer.
I know what mine was.
Go on.
Is. There was, so I was working, funnily enough, working in the restaurant for you at the time, working in the tavern, and Alan Moore, who, yeah, the writer of Watchmen, V for Vendetta, etc., he was in having a meal with his family, and I was doing one of those things where, and I now know this because people do this to me, I had to Google his image to check it was him or whatever, and then I, as he was finished, he was checking out all the comics on the wall. I said, "Excuse me, are you Alan Moore?" And he said, "Oh yeah." And I basically like gushed on him for 5 minutes. But I want to relive that because I kind of want to redo it. It was fine, except that I turned into a total fanboy idiot and forgot everything else that he's ever written. So it basically became what he probably hates. So all I did was talk about Watchmen and V for Vendetta. When there's top 10, there was a Superman stories, there's Deanna Quinn, just loads and loads of Alan Moore. I love all of his stuff, but I went a complete blank on it all. And it, you know, it would have been nice to talk to him a little bit more about some of the other bits. So yeah, but that was boss. He's my genuine like comic book writing hero.
So I'm not sure do-overs are allowed, but yeah, you know what? You can have a do-over because, yeah, you know, if do-overs are allowed, then I'm going to go with the football stuff
go
as
with
well.
The 30 second thing.
Exactly. That'll do. That's fine.
Yeah. Okay, if you could relive a football moment, is it as easy as saying Istanbul?
No, it wasn't for me. It's Dortmund.
Okay.
And I've said this a few times since that happened, is that I've never felt like that before.
Yeah.
Like that, there was like, I don't know, it's like an electricity in the air that like, I've heard about like Saint-Étienne and, you know, you'll never walk alone at Istanbul. I was never in any of them.
Yeah.
I was in my own version of that. Now, we didn't go on and win anything, but to me, that moment is still special. It's still the most special that I've had as a Liverpool fan.
Yeah.
And nothing's come close to that. Like, nothing's come, yeah, close to that at all. Like.
Yeah, mine's more from the, I wouldn't mind going back, because we weren't in Istanbul. We were only in the walkabout in town, but I would do it and I would just drink a little bit less. Just so I could remember it a little bit more. And I was fine. Like, you remember nothing after the second half onwards, by and large. I remember you at half time. But you
that's
know,
not just the game, Paul. That's in life.
That's just life. But yeah, no.
My memory ends in 2005 on the 25th of May around 8:45 p.m. No new memories have been made since then.
Yeah. But it would be nice again. Like, it's like the whole thing of, I've said this in the past about if you could rewatch films without knowing anything about them. Like, I'd love to rewatch the Terminator films, the first two, and go into Terminator 2 not knowing Arnie was the goodie going into it. Spoilers. If yeah, that's spoiling
fuck
Terminator
you,
2,
basically.
Too late. Came out in fucking 95 or whatever. Or 4. Irrelevant, Paul. It's irrelevant. Kind of. But yeah, it'd be nice to go like to watch that again and feel that tension, because I can go back and watch it again now. I've watched that full game probably 10 times back since then, and I just love watching how good AC Milan are in the first half. Was it'd be lovely in a really perverse way almost to go back and do the,
you enjoy it in a different way because you can enjoy them for what they were, yeah, but you don't get that, those feelings.
That Crespo finish where he just dinks it that outside of the boot over Dudek is like, that's a stand up and applaud goal. I defo didn't do that at the time. I crumbled to the floor reevaluated my life and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, it would be cool to do that. Okay, so obviously transfers are running riot at the moment, or you know, not, but transfer speculation certainly is. I want to start on one.
I tell you what, tell me what you told me yesterday outside the train station at the transfer window.
So the transfer window's open.
Madness.
Yeah, transfer window open on the 9th of June.
Madness.
Yeah, there's a so I'd done this video on Mates TV about It was just about certain players now, effectively. And I say,
but it was very much tongue in cheek,
very,
wasn't
it? Tongue in cheek. And why people were getting
dead wound
up.
Glad I deleted that tweet.
Why people were getting dead wound up about it. And it was, you twat, relax, will you? Oh, wait.
You didn't watch the video, did you, Chris?
Yeah. And a few people saying, look, the window's already open. And I think it's just because on the internet, particularly on comments and tweets and whatever, people like to be right about something at any given time. You've got to be right about something. So, you know, what you do is, it's like if you're trying to have an argument with someone and you mispronounce a word, you've effectively thrown your argument out the window because all people are going to say is, that's not how you pronounce that word, et cetera, it's the there thing. You're dead. Your opinion's moved. But effectively, a few people say, no, the window doesn't open on the 1st of July, as we all thought it did. And I did go and verify this, that, yeah, on the FIFA TMS, I think it is. I think they do it's the transfer market system or some shit like that. There's like there's an online database you can sign up for it's the transfer matching system or something. Effectively, it's like a database where you can go and find the type of players you want based on the data. And it's got a list of all the transfer windows for the entire world. And yeah, the 9th, not the 1st. I believe it's the windows open to buy players, but you can't register for them until the 1st of July. So yeah, that is interesting. So that's not going to make anyone feel any more relaxed about anything. But such is life.
That was the point, though.
Victor_21, who was
you
also
come here to relax, did you?
So no, who does? No one listens to podcasts to relax. Victor_21, who's at, you think that was his Twitter handle, but it's not. The Twitter handle's @tomato_sauce93.
Yeah.
Okay, just talk
there
about.
There was a time when yours could have been a tomato sauce related Twitter. You did have a fondness for ketchup.
Still do. I would never have gone down the Twitter handle route on it, man. Talk about Naby Keita and whether Liverpool will buy him or not. Go.
Naby Keita is a fantastic footballer. Turns out when you haven't seen anyone play for a while, he becomes better. We did a lot of, me and John did a lot of looking into him last season and stuff, and watched quite a bit of his YouTube videos, and I started to watch a little bit of the Bundesliga during the middle of the season and stuff, so know about him quite well. I don't think he's worth 70 million, to be honest, but that's my next point. Yeah. I don't think anybody's really worth 70 million euros.
I wasn't convinced on it until that video was doing the rounds this last couple of days of him spanking one in the top bin, and everyone's like, oh my God, give him the number 8 shirt.
This is the thing for me, though, is that I would love to see him at Liverpool, and I would love to see him sign for 70 million or 60 million or 50 million. It doesn't really make any odds. But now it seems to have gone a little bit too far on him, and it's like he's better than Kante. Kante was the best player in the Premier League last season. Naby Keita wasn't the best player in the Bundesliga.
Yeah.
There's been no games. Let's not go too far, lads.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? He's a great player. Yeah. I want to see him at Liverpool, but let's judge him when he's played a few games for us.
Yeah, exactly.
We were
having this chat yesterday. Actually, a few of these things we kind of discussed, which why I've picked these questions. We were waiting outside Euston Station yesterday and we chatted about a bit of this. But what world are we in if Liverpool genuinely are in for £70 million targets?
I mean, it's not going to translate because we're not doing the video, but when you asked me that question yesterday, I pinched myself, didn't I?
You did go and pinch yourself, yeah. I mean, if you wanted to do that now, I could tell people. Just pinched himself, ladies and gentlemen. So
he's lying to you.
I'm lying to you. I don't want to break the bond, but I've just lied to you. We're in a world potentially, and where Liverpool could spend 140 million quid on two players. Now, I don't think we will.
They'll never see your eyes skip from left to right as you said that. It really added gravitas to your point, Paul.
Yeah.
Like I had to describe it for them.
Yeah. it's that thing of, again, if they're saying, let's say Leipzig they've reportedly put like a 70 million price tag on them. As we've seen with things, when you say that's how much we want, you put that figure there to either to detract people or that you then never goes more than that.
Yeah, you're right. It's a negotiation, isn't it? Yeah. You know, if you've ever been to a lucky man on the beach or anything and bought a bracelet off him or anything, they'll start with 8. you'll start with two and you'll meet somewhere in the middle.
Yeah,
this has been happening you know, across the world for generations. Yeah. This is bartering, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
it's just a lot. It's just a lot of money.
Well, I think the thing is, there is the other side of it is the same thing that Liverpool have just done with Phil Coutinho, where reportedly we've said to Barcelona, we want 90 million for him, or we're not even asked. And that, because we know that's too rich for what they're looking for and what they're prepared to spend for the player that he is this window. So there's probably a little bit of that. Now, though, it's just down to Liverpool and what whether. Because this is, there's a Pandora's box of transfers that we're about to open this summer, or we have the potential to open this summer, I think. And once you open that, I don't know that you can go back from that. We saw it with
the market has to crash, Paul.
Yeah, exactly. But in a general sense. But we saw it with Aston Villa. You know, like Randy Lane. I think it was Randy Lane when he came in. He went, right, okay, we're going to make this club really good. There's a load of money. There's 20 million for Darren Bent. There's a couple of blah blah blah. And then like the next summer, like the manager comes around and goes, great, now I've got some £20 million targets. He's like, what? I don't. I'll give you that money. Well, no, we need that every single season. That's the thing with Liverpool. Liverpool needs to prepare to take the plunge on this properly. So if we're saying we're the kind of club that spends £70 million on top targets, then we need to make sure that we can be that. And if we can't be that, then then there's probably questions to be asked. But it is a thing, I'm not sure we necessarily need in italics to be that club this window, because the arguments would still remain. There's got to be someone else who can do that job in the world for less money than fucking £70 million.
Maybe so, and I don't know, you're raising a really interesting point, to be honest. I think I like the thing about what you said about it doesn't necessarily mean that we go out and spend £200 million every summer, but if the targets are available and we truly believe that they're worth taking the plunge on, maybe there isn't anyone better. Mm. Maybe those £30 million players aren't going to cut it this window. Maybe we do need to take the plunge on Naby Keita, on Virgil van Dijk, and ensure that the next few transfer windows calm down a little bit.
Yeah.
It's a really interesting point. Not one I thought about, because I kind of just assumed that if we're going to spend £200 million this summer, we're going to spend £200 million every summer,
yeah,
and we're going to become one of them clubs. I think that the major thing right now for me is that we can't lose ground on anyone. We've just broken the top four. Now's not the time to scrimp and save. That it's got to be get in there, stay in there, make sure that money keeps coming into the football club, then spend wisely off the back of that.
You mentioned something to me actually yesterday about, was it something Bascom had said in that regard?
Yeah, about FSG. So Bascom reported, I think it was two nights ago, so it'll be Sunday evening, just gone, that FSG have always said when world-class talent becomes available, the money will be there. And then reading between the lines, it was, we haven't been able to attract that world-class talent to spend that money.
Yeah.
And you can understand that, can't you, as well? I mean, you know, you look at it and you go, well, this guy's £50 million footballer, but is he worth it? No, not really. But if we think that this guy's worth 70, then you can spend that money. Value's all about what you perceive it to be, isn't it? It's not about what other people think about it. You know, we went on honeymoon in Rwanda and Uganda and Tanzania, and every single time you go into a transaction there, they wanted you to spend an amount of money. And I hate bartering. I absolutely hate it. But I'll give you a little thing about this little wooden fucking Geppetto. Why not? It was a giraffe that we've got in our living room.
Right.
And it was sculpted out of a piece of wood, and I've been trying to find it for ages because I didn't really like the ones up there. They were a little bit too thick. The woodwork was a little bit too clunky. I know. I normally talk about fart, tits and all that type of stuff. I'm sorry, I'm talking about woodworking. And it was really well sculpted giraffe. And I had in my head what I thought that was worth. And it was about 30 quid because I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah.
And they wanted like fucking a tenner, 15, 24, and I had no problem with overpaying.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, I didn't get into the negotiation. I knew I could have pulled him down. He asked me for this thing and I gave him it straight away. Because to me it was fucking worth it.
Yeah.
And I wasn't getting into something. Yeah. It was worth more than that to me.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what transfers are about, isn't it?
Yeah.
In a weird woodworking giraffe kind of way.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've got to make sure that you get value. It doesn't matter what the other club gets.
Yeah. I mean, that's why, you're right in that and this is the fine line. This is why I think it's so nuanced, the situation that we're in. And that's why it's not about I support one way or the other. It's just that I try not to let it get me to bother me too much, because there's just so many contributing factors to all of it. And I would be paralyzed by this whole, once you start doing that, what that means. You know, if you start paying £70 million for centre halves, what's your next centre forward costing? Because centre forwards cost more money than that. All of a sudden, we're joking
supply
about
supply and demand, though, isn't it?
No,
as well?
Yeah, but true. But you know, it's But it's that thing.
If there's a shed ton of centre forwards,
yeah, but
and there's two world class centre backs.
True enough. But I think we'd all agree that by and large, there's a reason why centre halves cost loads less in general. But it's that thing, is all of a sudden, if we're paying £70 million for a centre half, like, all the people laughing at like 120 million for Mbappe. Well, that's what fucking centre forwards are just going. That's what good centre forwards are just going to cost all of a sudden. That's the world we're. And it's the thing. It's like, it's hard for me to detach myself, because I've said it loads of places. I don't care. I don't care about what we pay for transfers. I kind of do. I wish I cared less, because I do care. Because, and it's probably the whole no country for old men thing. Is that I don't like the way this is going. We have this with Flav from Ball Street all the time, that he doesn't want Spurs to be dead successful, because he kind of likes his football club to be just little and a little parochial little thing.
Weird,
you know?
Isn't he?
Yeah, he is weird. But it's that, you know, there's a dichotomy there for me of like wanting Liverpool to be the best, the biggest and the best, right at the top of football. But in order to, it's tough to disassociate the fact that we've never done it that way. Even when we were the best club in the world, we never did it that way. We didn't. We weren't breaking world transfer records. We did it by buying, you know, players under the model that we've got.
Scottish blokes.
He's buying Scottish and Irish fellas with dead good at footy, and occasional Zimbabweans to shake shit up. Nice.
And an Australian with a vision of how football boots should be.
Just wanted to put more kale on a footy. This is why I struggle. This is what I struggle with, is that how do you do that when you've just spent 15 years hating Chelsea and hating Man United for the way they've done things? It's that. I guess if Liverpool just go wholehearted into it, I'll probably enjoy it. But it's this period of uncertainty where are Liverpool going to become that? Because they're going to become it, going all in on it, fine, I'll go with the flow. But I don't want to see us fucking limp dick it and us make an absolute fucking mockery of ourselves again by doing a really wanky, half-hearted version of this mega club thing.
For what it's worth, I have no problems with Manchester United doing it, because I don't think they've done it the wrong way. I think they've earned everything. They've spent everything that they've earned. I had a problem with Chelsea doing it. I always will do. I kind of feel like Liverpool have kind of earned their way into that now. I don't think we're not a sugar daddy run club.
Yeah.
You know, we've increased the commercial opportunities. There has been an influx of more money.
Yeah.
We were on the telly more than any other team last season through a brand of football and all that. So I do think Liverpool have kind of deserved their seat at the table, and they deserve to be able to spend that type of money, whether I like it or not. Yeah, I'd love to do it without having to spend all that money, because I just think there's no better way of winning the Premier League.
It's just that, I guess it's though the point is, and this is why it comes back to the nuance thing, is that if we could do it that way, surely we'd have done it that way before now. And I just mean winning the league title. But equally, you could look at, and again, this is where I feel a sympathy to some extent. Probably not quite the right way, but you'd look at the progression under Jurgen Klopp, and you'd be like, "Do you need to? Would the progression follow?"
I think you let Klopp decide.
Yeah,
and I think he's buying the players ultimately, so he's making the decisions of he thinks you do, because this is a strong league, a competitive league with great managers, great players, and a shit ton of money to spend them. Yeah, splash around. Just going back slightly, and I know I used this example last week with the Buffon and the goalkeeper stuff. Buffon didn't change the price of goalkeepers in 2001.
Yeah.
When he went for 30 million. I think it took a long time for when Rio Ferdinand went for 30 million for that to break again. So I do think there our players, and I don't think Rio Ferdinand was really a world-class player at the time, but in potentially very much was. So I do think there are players that you can go out and get for much higher than their market value, maybe at the time, and it might not affect that. That when you look back over the season,
you're definitely right, because again, that's those situations where you're paying, you are absolutely paying over the odds. Like you're paying, you're just, I need this player and I'll pay anything to get him. You're right, I don't think you necessarily drag it up. Although that being said, I think there's a world, that era of Italian footy was when all the fucking money fell out of Italy as well, and Italy went down the fucking 20 as a league. So maybe there's a more in-depth circumstance.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
That the problem we've got is that what we've seen in the Premier League is it's only been a year since John Stones was a £50 million centre half. Man City are the ones who've set the price range almost on these centre backs, because every time they're paying they probably spent over £30 million on a centre back, probably about five times or something, I'd say, in recent years. And it does, and you can see there's just an inflation across the board, isn't there? And I don't know whether that's, particularly if you get your transfer business done early, it sets the tone almost for the league. It encourages people to think that this is a thing. And it's easy. Football clubs more often do stuff. They don't like being the first to do stuff. They're encouraged by seeing other football clubs do things. So they see everyone spending big on centre-halves, then it makes them more inclined to go and spend big money themselves, because you're setting the market, aren't you, to some extent. But it's all very terrifying, nevertheless. No, it is. Because, I mean, like I say, it comes down to it. We do live in a world where Liverpool could spend £60+ million on a centre-half, £60+ million on a defensive midfielder, or a centre midfielder. And, you know, you can spend the best part of £140 million on two players. That's crazy. That's absolutely, you know, it's genuinely crazy. I can't quite wrap my head around that. I understand some people are using that as an excuse to get really wound up by things because they can't wrap their head around it. I'm just like baffled and amazed. You know what I mean? I'll sit back and see what happens.
We spent like £20 million on Adam Lallana and everyone went mad.
Overpaying for Lallana, £20 million. Yeah, all of a sudden.
Until now,
no, but we.
How many years ago was that? Two.
But it's what? Yeah, three
maybe.
But I remember saying, and Lallana's proved me wrong in this notion, but I'll reiterate my point from the time, is that Liverpool £20 million. I said Lallana should be our new Yossi Benayoun. If we want to be one of those Uber clubs, then £20 million players sit on your bench. £70 million players start every single week, start every single game, and that's the way it should be. And that was what we, you know, in the 10 years ago, it went from £10 million players became your squad players, and now that's up and up. And like I say, it's the Lallana point is not spot on anymore, because he's become absolutely integral to how we play. And I actually think probably he's slightly too old to have this value as such now. But if Lallana played like he played the last two seasons and he was playing for PSG or he was playing for whatever,
60,
he'd be a 40 plus easy million pounds.
Yeah,
I million pound player. But this is the thing, isn't it? That's what Liverpool needs to get into the swing of, is that, like, Dejan Lovren is a great example of that. 20 odd, 25, say, million pounds. It's about to come your third choice centre back. We shouldn't flinch at this stuff, because again, Liverpool in the past would have had Ragnar Klavan, a £5 million as his third or fourth choice. All of a sudden, we've got, as I say, it's that thing, isn't it? We're growing to the point where there's just so many millions of pounds of talent.
It's good, it's good, it's good.
Very good. So just moving on from the last question, so thank you very much, Victor. So say we get Virgil van Dijk and a Keita or a similar mid, and I say a similar defender over the line as well. Will we continue with 4-3-3 again, or will we change formation with new personnel? So again, we had this last night, and I thought it was interesting. What I'll say is, I think we pretty much will revisit this every time we sign a new player.
Yeah, we've got to,
because I don't think there's enough data there to tell us specifically if there's going to be a change. So I'll ask you I'll rephrase the question slightly to direct it to you, Chris.
Yeah.
You always start this conversation with, well, I've been saying it's going to be 4-2-3-1 for a year now. Does the signing of Salah, for a start, make you think that's likely to be anything different? Or does it just cement you?
No, it cements it, to be honest. I think, you know, I kind of envision Salah on the right hand side, Mane on the left, and Firmino up top at the moment. I then see Phil Coutinho in the number 10 position, uh-huh, as opposed to a straight out midfielder.
Uh-huh. Where does Adam Lallana go?
That's the conundrum, isn't it? I'd be happy with either Lallana or Coutinho in the 10. To be honest, I'd like to see maybe Naby and Jordan Henderson in the centre of the park. I think if you play in a two-man midfield, you got Henderson and Chan, Keita and Wijnaldum are your four to cover those positions. Mm-hmm. Your 10 is covered by Lallana and Coutinho. Mm-hmm. Your left winger is covered by Mane, Salah and Coutinho. Your right winger is covered by Mane and Salah.
Yeah.
Your centre forward is Firmino, Ings, Sturridge, Origi.
Solanke.
But equally, you could quite easily just change that into a 4-3-3 with exactly the same players, Lallana and Coutinho, with a creative guy who is forced to, you know, transition into the attack. Wijnaldum and Keita are the box-to-box midfielders. Henderson and Chan are the sixes. It's so fluid.
Yeah.
It could be both during a game.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't be bothered.
I think the thing of it is, yeah, particularly if it's like a Henderson Wijnaldum midfield, a two-man midfield, because that's the easiest one, is that Wijnaldum just takes up his position that he played last season slightly further up the pitch, doesn't he? The question is, and I guess this is the thing we won't know, we pre-season's still a couple of weeks away, it's the Coutinho-Lallana thing, because he fucking loves Lallana. Mm. Lallana for Klopp is the guy that makes that all tick, that, you know, the he presses from the front, the way he turns play around, etc., etc. We've basically got 12 first team players at the moment, maybe 13 if you consider like Emre Can and the form he put in at the back end of the season. We can't possibly have the answer right now, but at the minute, like I said, my suggestion is that I wouldn't shock me to see us start pretty much start the best team we had from last season
in the new season
with Salah to come in and impact, settle him in a little bit more, although that'll depend on how pre-season goes and etc. But yeah, because I agree with the notion that we'll probably see Coutinho playing deeper, because it looked great when we saw of West Ham in particular. We might see more of that, and we've talked about, if you know, in terms of a squad, I think if we're taking Coutinho out of the winger positions and we're putting him into rotation with Lallana, I still think we're short another winger, if that's the case. So that kind of would intimate to me that we're probably going to stick with it largely as is, because I think you'd see Henderson, you'd say 4-3-3, it's Henderson Chan for the DM, it's Wijnaldum Keita for the box-to-box.
Yeah,
for the 6.5, you know, whatever. Then it's Lallana, Oxlade-Chamberlain in rotation for the attacking mid. Coutinho, Mane for the Coutinho, Salah, Coutinho, Mane for the left, and then at the minute it's probably Mane, Ojo, say in rotation for the wings. Whereas if you take Coutinho out of that, I feel like we might yet need another body. But
that's where Chamberlain comes in as well, doesn't it? That's where you want the versatility of Phil Coutinho to be able to play that winger or the centre mid. This is it, and you never know. You sign Chamberlain, you could be looking at a three at the back situation. It's so nice to see. It's so nice to see how the. Because I can enjoy this more. Because last season I didn't have a frigging clue and I thought the signings were all wrong. I was like, why is he signing him for there in that position, in this position? I can enjoy this now because I can step back and go, he surprised me last year. I wouldn't be surprised to be surprised.
I wouldn't be surprised if I was surprised again.
And now I'm looking for the evolution and I'm trying to guess where he's going rather than thinking, well, he's wrong. It's much more fun. To go, what's he planning here? Because he's planning something, because he did this last year. You know what I mean? That's fun to me.
I completely agree on that. There's a moment, I think, that's going to come in this pre-season where we go, ooh, yeah. Like, we're going to see, I don't think we'll necessarily see it against Tranmere or Wigan, but maybe it'll be like toward the back end of the Ardy Cup or something like that, and we'll get the closest thing to our first team and we'll be like, ooh. I'd not considered that before, and that'll be like the really exciting thing. It's probably Phil Coutinho playing in the 10, Lallana playing left back, and all, you know what I mean? It'll be something fucking mad, and we'll be like, whoa, hold it, and then
hello.
All of these discussions will have gone completely out the window. That's but great. I expect them to do as things develop anyway. So we'll move on. We've got a question from let's go a while for a moment. Marzi20, our good friend at Clopsy20, as he is on Twitter. If Pajak ran for PM in the next UK elections, do you think he'd win? And how do you think a debate with him would go?
No, sweary.
I think, you know what, you could be. I genuinely think you would do phenomenal. I think there's probably too many skeletons in the closet, so I have this feeling about myself. But when you look at, like, and I'm gonna compare you to Nigel Farage, but I don't mean I don't mean it that you're like some sort of neo-Nazi bigot. I mean that he's created a platform. Come back. I mean that he And Trump and
oh, come on!
And even
I've just come back and you hit me with Trump.
And even Corbyn, they've created the and to be fair, like Nick Clegg did it as well. It's this. I think you could take the. I'm so sick of the. If you're so sick of the normal way of doing this bullshit approach, I think people would flock. People would absolutely flock to it. And you're already a viral megastar, so you've got the. You get the grime scene on your side.
I'm all about the grime scene.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it would be great, and I would very much love to see you in your Chapman 102 persona doing debates.
That would be hilarious.
Yeah, live television debates.
Could you imagine just anyone turning up with a 15-year-old cap on for a debate? That would be great. Yeah, and a jumper.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah, though. I'm not so sure. I don't think I'd win. I don't think I'd run. I don't think the debates would be very good.
You'd either be...
But they'd be fun to watch.
Yeah, you'd either win or you would be the dressed-down equivalent of Lord Buckethead. I think you'd definitely garner a lot of online attention because we know that's how it works. Okay, so...
See, we made a Pajak Nudes made an appearance on True Geordie's podcast.
Spreading. It's getting bigger. I don't know how it's getting bigger. I don't know how it's still a thing. What'd be interesting to see is the Pajak Nudes thing is like how many people
were watching the first
remember
one.
Remember where it came from?
Do you?
It was from Deadline Day, wasn't it?
Was it Deadline Day it came from?
Yeah, or I actually think it was. I think it originated around Deadline Day and our Deadline Day, the Red Men Deadline Day. And then we moved on and started doing the Ball Street ones. And I was down for that and you were doing bits on Red Men up in the studio on your own, and I'm pretty sure you did. I think you promised, did you get a nipple out or something?
I got a nipple out on one of the Deadline Days. Yeah. I don't think it was a Deadline Day that we started it on. I think it was one of our own watch alongs or something, one of our very first lives. Maybe it wasn't a watch along, maybe it was something else, but
yeah.
Maybe we should document it.
Be interesting.
Future generations.
If anyone can work out the first appearance of the page.
Yeah, because, you know, it's going to live on for, what, 30, 40 more years. Yeah. People will want to know at some point where it originated. Yeah. I mean, my brother saw it on Twitter the other day and WhatsApped me. He was like, what the fuck's this, lad? And I was like...
I love how your Steve is so easily embarrassed.
Oh, yeah.
And how he gets so, when he feels a bit of embarrassment, he gets really angry.
Yeah.
How many times he's phoned you up to give you a dressing down and loads, stuff over the years?
Loads of times.
Yeah, so I equated the Page Act nude things to like Harambe, except it'll never die. Yeah. So
it was a really great tweet, but it was done on the live show the day before you made that tweet. So that's why I didn't reply to it.
Ah, yeah. The never die bit?
Yeah.
I added that. That wasn't in the tweet.
No,
that made it.
It was me that said it.
Enchanting
on the
Duck
live show the day before.
Choose not to believe that. Enchanting Duck. Didn't say it. If anyone could chart it, though, it would be very interesting. Enchanting Duck transfers that have wildly deviated from your expectations, either exceeded or fell far short.
Robbie Keane's the first one that springs to mind.
The worst thing about it is I don't even think he was that bad.
No,
you know, the problem with Robbie Keane at the time was he was bought to play with Fernando Torres. Torres got injured and he ended up leading the line, and he was never a lead the line on his own centre forward. Scored that absolute belter against Arsenal, didn't he, at the Emirates?
The one in the grey kit.
Yeah, the grey and red weird version that we wore. And that was he had some moments, didn't he? But
he's a class player.
Yeah.
Still is. Still was. You know, in the MLS he was tearing it up until a couple of years ago. Like just knew where the goal was. I mean, when he broke through it, I think it was Coventry, wasn't it? He was outstanding. Then he got that massive move to Inter Milan, and he was like one of the most valuable footballers. He was like, you know, he's playing with Christian Vieri and all this, like 18 years old from Coventry, and then he's gone to Inter Milan and all this. And you're like, what a career trajectory. And he goes to Tottenham and played in some clubs like.
In fact, yeah. In fact, didn't he go Wolves to Inter to Coventry?
Or maybe
Coventry?
It was that way around.
But yeah, bad,
he had Leeds as well, Tottenham Hotspur, yeah. Liverpool, Celtic, LA Galaxy, Celtic. I mean, an unbelievable career.
Did he go Aston Villa on loan? Or he went West Ham on loan?
I think you're right.
He definitely was. He was definitely. But yeah, men's. But yeah, again, he was another one. He was a CM
god back in the day.
Absolutely.
Proper wonder kid before I think it said wonder kid on it.
Yeah, I think the ones...
That's where my love of him came from.
Yeah.
That, is those Championship Manager games.
I think...
I'm not going to let you finish your point.
Most recently. I think Gini Wijnaldum was a great example recently. Yeah. That I don't think any one of us was like, wow, like blown away. I was slightly more excited by Mane, even though I wasn't over the moon with Sadio Mane. But, like, yeah, I had zero expectation. I knew Mane was fast and he could score goals and he was going to play on the wing. I thought Wijnaldum was less fast, would score less goals and would play on the opposite flank. And then we played him as a box-to-box midfielder. And even then, I was talking to someone about this, about a signing. I can't remember what comments it was on my channel. And they said, speak to me in January or whatever about such and such a player. And I was like, leave it to the end of the season, because I wasn't even that impressed by Wijnaldum mid-season, but he just got better and better and better as the campaign
went on. There's loads of them, Paul. I think, you know, when you look at what Phil Coutinho came in, I think I never really had any expectations of Phil Coutinho, and what we've got out of it is a world-class footballer. Mm. Sadio Mane, great example. Wijnaldum, great example.
The Coutinho
Does it mean that we're too harsh on players before they actually play a game 100%. For us? Because it seems to be all the players that are in our first team.
Well, no, but exactly, yeah. Well, I actually did a list of this, and there'll be a video. I'll fathom a video out of it at some point. But I made a list of all the signings we've made in the last 5 years and whether I thought they were, like, successes, meh, or shit. And the meh column is where inevitably it comes up for debate, because I don't think it's as black and white as he was dead good or he was dead shit. I think because a Joe Allen as an example, he definitely wasn't a shit signing, but he also wasn't an absolute worldie, etc. But I think, you know, by and large, I look at the players, and a lot of the players that we now really like were all players that were, you know, had a lot of people, or the perception was, which I think is an important distinction, that these players weren't good enough, or we'd done something stupid by buying them.
Adam Lallana's exactly the same, Paul.
Exactly.
I mean, there's a guy who has far exceeded my expectations of him, because I think he probably went through his ceiling that I gave him a year and a half ago, and he's not stopped. He's not stopped improving since then.
I thought, you know, at the end of last season, the season before, the Europa League season, again, I thought we'd see, great, that's what we're going to get from Lallana. You know, at least we're seeing he can play for 90 minutes and he's running around a lot. And then he had a goal.
Here's a question for you. Is Lallana the last player since Steven Gerrard who plays in the first team that we've seen go through their peak years?
other than maybe centre backs.
Ooh. Yeah.
I can't think of anyone who's gone through the peak years for
us.
Yeah,
like sort of like, yeah, like 25 to 28, 29. No, it's a very good point.
With Lucas, but he was never a first teamer the whole time.
Yeah, and we lost the best year, the best ability of Lucas because of the injuries. No, if anyone knows an alternative to that, please do. Obviously, this will be on the on Acast and it'll be on iTunes. If you want to leave any suggestions for answers to that, you can do by leaving a review on iTunes, 5 stars, and then leave us some suggestions you think of players we've seen.
It has to be 5 stars before you can type anything.
Absolutely, yeah. If you don't, you get punished.
Electrocuted by your phone.
Yeah, you bad luck for 7 years. But yeah, I know you're dead right on that. I don't think there's been too many. And in fact, I've made this point before that I would like Adam Lallana. I would like us to just keep him till he retires. Or till he gets to an age where maybe Southampton want him back, you know, he wants to go and heal the bridges back home or something like that. Like at 37, he goes back to
Bournemouth, maybe.
Bournemouth goes back to the Rippers, stay close to home. But yeah, it would, because the players like that, it would be nice. I know there's very much that notion you let people, you know, lose their legs on someone else's dime effectively, but it would be nice to see a bit more. Because you're right, our policy's very much become sell far too young. Like, you could say, you could almost make a case for Suarez to some extent, but then as he's gone on that two or three seasons where he's just been,
We didn't have his entire prime, did we? Yeah. We had the beginning of it, I think.
I think it's a great point. Not many players have done that. So yeah, and just wanted to make mention. I should have named it earlier. Andrew Treble0 on Twitter was the one who said, should we care how much money is being spent on players? It's not our money, but would hate to see us overspend and it not work out. perfectly summed up, I think, how we covered that point there. But yeah, as I said, very interesting. I think we will doubtless see more of those, and don't be shocked if this time next year even one or two do the ones like a Karius. There still exists that we could be talking about him in that light. After a season, maybe he has a great pre-season and he just looks like his level's above Mignolet, and he comes in and he's great this year, and we go, right.
That's why we signed him.
Exactly. But yeah, it does look, I think we're having far more transfer successes in recent years than I think we get credit for at times. And just on that, I guess sort of lastly on it, we talk about this, whenever we think we're getting something, whenever we're like dead set, this is going to be like, let's use Balotelli as a great example of it. Signing Balotelli, there was loads of people, and I'm not going to bring up the obvious, but there were just loads of people. Balotelli was a big name, he's great on FIFA. Signing was a great bit of business for Liverpool, big name, yada, yada, yada. So there's as many examples of ones and the other way around that you think, oh, that's going to be something. I always knew he was shit because he is fucking shit. But, you know, this is the way we live. Look at Angel Di Maria. Mm-hmm. Man United paid like 70 million for him. And they got a season out of him and went, made him the scapegoat for all the team's problems, and then packed him off to PSG.
Where he was boss.
Where he's been, yeah, pretty good.
And he was boss at Real before.
Yeah. Whereas, you know, again, you could look at it and just look at price and all that stuff, and name and value don't necessarily count for the world. I can think of as many big name players that Chelsea have signed that have fucked up than I can where they've gone out and bought players and they've gone, well, that's a great bit of business. So yes, anyway, yeah, everyone hopefully keeping their heads for the coming weeks until some more signings start to drop in the old inbox,
because
that's how signings happen. But yeah, great, thanks very much everyone for listening to the podcast this week. We're back, we'll be doing more, another one next week and then the week after that.
I like the format,
so on.
It was good.
So yeah, no, thanks to everyone who sent the questions in. I'll put a tweet out again next week for more of those very, very interesting stuff. As ever, if you want more from the Red Men TV, if you like video based stuff and you want more audio based stuff as well,
it's coming, there's some here. It's here.
The Reds transfer roundup. It's finishing. Roundup. It's not finishing.
We need to wrap up, but then we're finishing.
The Reds transfer roundup is available right now in audio version. So if you go to theredmentv.com and you want transfer talk, solidly presented by Steve Hall, including ourselves, there is an audio exclusive version as well to that if you just like the whole audio thing. So yes, go and subscribe to redmentv.com. Makes all of this possible. We love you guys. Back next week for more podcasty goodness. Vote 5 stars, reviews, and walk on. Cheers.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.